Al-Bayan Radio presents the following program, asking Allah that it serves as a benefit for all.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear brothers and sisters, and welcome to a special edition of Al-Bayan Live, the Pharmacy Hour, with our dear brother Saeed Kadari. Before I introduce him, I am Abu Abdurrahman, and I'm very pleased to be joined by my dear brother Saeed Kadari from your discount chemist in Greenacre. Assalamu alaikum, brother Saeed.
Alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you for joining us tonight. It's good to see you once again.
Likewise. You're always looking good.
You're looking very fresh.
Yeah, the wife's been busy with the clippers.
Alhamdulillah. Barakallah feekum. And once again, thank you for being with us. We'd like to thank all our viewers for tuning in to Al-Bayan Radio, and especially those watching live on Facebook Live and also YouTube. Don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel, Al-Bayan Radio Australia. Now, our dear brother Saeed, I know it's been a busy few months for you. We'll start off with the topic of demand, what is affecting us. I think we've been in lockdown for a while. The vaccine issue is hot. Moderna is, I think, started to roll out. Where do we start?
Tell me about it. Alhamdulillah. It's been crazy months for everyone, really. Everyone. Yeah, that's, you know, the vaccines have been, like you said, a hot topic. You know, there's COVID running through the community at levels that I can't believe. It's almost to the point where I'm pretty sure most people know someone who's had COVID now.
Yes, and people are dying, as we know. May Allah have mercy upon them. And we're hearing those stories, so it's this is why we decide to update the community at least once a month with our dear brother Saeed. Now, brother Saeed, I know the Moderna vaccine is now available, and especially in the pharmacies. Yes. Who's it for? Who's it targeting? And who's available to take it now?
So it's the Moderna is like the Pfizer vaccine, the messenger mRNA vaccine. So it's available from 12 years and over. So, you know, from, you know, the kids up to 59, you know, in circumstances, we can give it to more than older than 59 as well, if desired.
Now, dear brother Saeed, why is it important for the kids themselves to take the vaccine? I think they started with 12 to 16. Is that right?
Look, they started 16 and over and then have gone to, you know, from 12 and over. So, look, it's important for different, you know, different types of people, different types of kids, you know, any who are have got like immunocompromised or have pre-existing conditions, other underlying medical conditions, you know, like, you know, asthma or things like that, you know, type 1 diabetes, those kind of things. It's something to consider, you know, especially if, you know, they might live at home with grandparents or parents who are immunocompromised themselves.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, the Moderna vaccine is now available at the pharmacies. Is that right? Nationwide?
Nearly all the pharmacies. It will be. It's available at our Greenacre store and a few of our other ones. But, yeah, generally it will be available pretty much in nearly every pharmacy by the middle, I think, middle of October.
Excellent. Now, the main question we got this week, as you mentioned before, many people are suffering from COVID. May Allah cure them and give them good health and a long life on good deeds. And the common question we got is, how do we treat it at home? If we do have it, many people know, I'm in isolation. We've discussed the vaccine. If they have it, they're at home, they're isolated. What are some ways or tips that we can care for ourselves and others that may have it in our household?
Yeah. Okay. So I have got some tips for that. So, look, as you know, it's been crazy out there, especially around obviously Greenacre, which I'm sure you miss living around at the moment.
I'm right there in the heart.
You are.
I'm back in Greenacre.
Oh, you're back in Greenacre now, are you?
Yes. A few streets away from you.
Yeah. Because you were out of the area for a while.
That's right. I'm still hidden. I try not to be out much, especially now.
You are, yep. I definitely don't blame you. So, yes, so, you know, it's important to know, you know, when to get, you know, care. And, you know, what happens? And you know, a lot of people ask, well, what happens, you know? So, you know, you might test positive. You know, your symptoms are mild. And then, you know, care really starts at home. So, you know, the main thing is you do want to rest, you know, increase your fluids, and, you know, look after your fever or any aches and pains that you might get. Because they're the things that sort of, you know, you need to treat from the start, you know. And look, we've got to remember too that symptoms are generally mild in the first few days, and then they get quite, you know, more severe after that, you know, 7 to 10 days, and that's where you find a lot of people start to go downhill.
That's what I've heard, the 8th and 9th day especially, and then afterwards it gets better by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Yes, well, that's exactly right. So, look, so, you know, let's say you are related to a sick person that, you know, that doesn't live in the house, then you help them by getting their groceries and their medicines and things like that. You know, you do what you can for them from that setting. Now, if you are infected yourself, and there's other people in the house with you, then now it's a different ball game, as they say. Mm.
So how would that work? Sorry.
So let's say someone's infected in the house, and you know there's other people in the house. So you want to, as quickly as possible and as best as possible, isolate them into a room themselves. Make sure there's, you know, if there's a bathroom they can use, that's primarily that they're the only ones who will use it. Do that as well. And you know, from there you know make sure that room is the windows are open, there's good ventilation in there. You know, I always tell people to, you know, get it's called a carpet snake. I think it's called the carpet snake. You know, those things you put under the door to stop the hawa from coming in, the wind from coming through.
We all know it.
Yeah. So, you know, one of those, if you don't have one, some towels to make sure nothing is coming in from under the door. You know, also you need to, as best you can, avoid any shared space. You know, you really want to isolate them, as they say. And, you know, making sure that you're spraying the air with Glen 20 or something similar. You know, when you're giving food to them, you want to bring that food to the door and then, you know, move away while they, you know, pick up the door, just like Uber's doing now these days, is drop it at your door and see you later. So that kind of thing as well. And, you know, really, you know, make sure any areas in the house are being cleaned very frequently with, you know, things like the Glen 20, which is, you know, a high concentration of alcohol inside it.
Is there a more natural alternative to the Glen 20 that you know of?
Some
people going to react to it negatively.
Look, they're not that I know of. I mean, you could use the, like the oils, like, you know, eucalyptus oil or something like that. But in all honesty, it's the high concentration alcohol that kills the virus on contact, or pretty much on contact. So I know people like natural, but, you know, this is really the way to really, you know, kill it instantly. But you could use, like I said, those eucalyptus oils, but they're not as thorough as a good concentration alcohol is. You know, some of the other things that you need to do as well is really, you know, face masks within the house if you've got somebody with COVID living in there. Look, with Delta, it's very, very, very contagious. So the chances are the whole house will probably get it, unless you were really, really, really strict. And on top of the face mask, it'd have to be an N95 mask, you know, because they are the heavy duty ones. You got to change them every day. And even further to that is really, it depends, you know, if you've really got immunocompromised people in the house, you know, some with severe lung issues, or even if they've, you know, elderly parents or grandparents that you live with you, or other underlying conditions, then would really consider one of those face shields.
You know, oh yeah,
it's either the face mask with the shield. You're really going to protect yourself much, much, much better. Yeah,
those face shields are becoming more common.
Oh, look, they work. You know, you've got that physical barrier, and then you've got the mask behind it. You know, it's pretty much, I mean, that's what, you know, the nurses and the doctors are wearing in hospital, for good reason. You know, it's the, you know, you even go further, you can have the gowns and the gloves, and you really become like a, like they treat, you know, in hospital. And that's really the way to keep it out.
Brother Saeed, before we move on, how do we know if it's, would we know, are there some signs when we know it's an emergency that the person should go to hospital, or do they get checked at the hospital first before they go into isolation? How does that work? I think I forgot to ask you that at the start.
Yeah. So look, what happens is typically you'll test positive. The health department will either ring you, message you, or a doctor or a nurse might do that, depending on how busy they are. But generally, they'll get back to you and say, look, you have to stay at home. You isolate for 14 days minimum. Now, you would keep you keep an eye on your symptoms. If you're elderly or you've got some other underlying issues, I'd be ringing your doctor and get some advice about what they want you to do and what to look out for. That's always really important to do. I mean, it's important for, you know, I'd say you must do that if you're, you know, underlying conditions and elderly, but really you should all be doing that, whoever, no matter. Speak to the doctor, tell them you're positive, what do they want you to do, what you should look out for, and those kind of things. Now, you know, obviously the two most important things are your temperature, body temperature, and your oxygen levels. So, you know, you've really got to keep an eye on those two things. The oxygen levels, you know, there's a pulse oximeter, something called a pulse oximeter, that you can measure with, and, you know, we can, that's, you know, it's something we sell in the pharmacy. And sometimes I have heard of cases where the hospital will drop one off to people at home to keep them at home instead of coming into the hospital. So they will monitor that with you. So in terms of temperature, we really want to make sure that the temperature is under 37 temperature is over 37.5 degrees. And so we really want to, you know, keep an eye on that, make sure it doesn't get any higher than 40. Anything that persists over 40 or even 39.5, you really need to consider going to the hospital.
Now, back to treating at home, what about clothes and gloves and the like? How often should clothes be changed when someone is suffering from COVID? May Allah protect us.
Yes. I mean, yeah, look, with your gloves, let's say clothes. Now we're talking about clothes. The clothes, you really want to be, anyone who's COVID positive and you're doing the washing for them, so you would really want to be wearing gloves. One, don't shake the clothes. Don't shake it out. You know, don't fuddle them, as they say, before you put them in or anything like that, because that just lifts all the virus particles, if there's any, up into the air. So you really don't want to be doing that. You want to be using hot water, as hot as possible. Normal detergent is fine. You don't have to. There is no Dettol. I know there's Dettol washing liquid and things like that. You can use that, but you don't have to. And also, yeah, make sure you're wearing a mask while you're doing it, and make sure you're wearing gloves. You must wear gloves, because that'll really make sure that you're not getting any sort of virus particles directly into the skin, onto the skin. So wear the gloves. Make sure you throw out those gloves as soon as you put those clothes in the washing machine as well.
And the mask as well. The replaceable mask should be changed after each use. Is that right?
Yeah. Yes. Oh well, the masks can be used for about 24 hours. I'm talking about either the surgical ones or the N95s. The N95s, which I recommend after about 24 hours, or if they get wet or dirty for some reason, but maximum 24 hours. Change it every day. The state of some of the masks I've seen.
I've seen some as well.
Oh, it's not really doing the job if you leave it on for days and weeks and things like that.
Now, Brother Said, I've heard quite a bit regarding the testing that the people in the household who are non-positive, who are living with a positive COVID family member, how often do they have to get tested? I've heard this and that.
Yeah, look, the recommendation is every 3 days. So every 3 days you will just go out to testing. Obviously testing and come back home, no socializing anywhere, in the car and back out, back home. So yeah, every 3 days. And, because it doesn't always turn up straight away. I've had a fair few people that I know in this situation, and it's coming up positive after about a week sometimes, after 9 days, after 7 days, after 3 days, but the recommendation is after 3 days.
Okay. And now
every 3 days.
Yeah. Now for the ones who are at home and require medical treatment, what's recommended for them?
So again, like we said, so you want to be treating the fever, if there's any fever, or the pain. You want to keep hydrated. So the Panadol, Nurofen, to combat that. Some Hydrolite to stay hydrated, or something similar to that. People do sort of rush out and get the immunity boosters, vitamin C, vitamin D, zinc. Look. If you've actually contracted COVID, and it's going to have limited effect. The vitamin C and the zinc and the vitamin D. There's going to be no harm. Don't get me wrong. There's no harm, but it's going to have limited effect once you actually have COVID. Now I'm assuming that with these. Obviously, unvaccinated are going to be a bit more susceptible to the severe disease. So, this is also something we need to consider with these. You may not need, you still need to be tested and things like that, of course.
Brother Said, before we move on, we've got a question, and the brothers can leave their questions on the Facebook Live there, or the brothers and sisters on the Facebook Live there, ASWJ Australia page. Or the YouTube stream there, Albion Radio Australia. The question is asking, if someone is a close contact, how long before they get symptoms if they are infected? I think you just answered that, but maybe we can repeat it again.
Yeah, look, it's difficult. It's difficult to know exactly when you may get symptoms. It depends on various things. You may not get symptoms. You may, if you're vaccinated, you may not get symptoms. You may get symptoms. It may be 3 days later. It may be a week later. But from what people have told me and what I've seen, it's normally the tests will show up, about 5 to 6, 7 days. So it'll come up positive if you're doing it every 3 days, and then symptoms will probably start around that 7 day mark. Okay. But it's very important to also, I don't think I mentioned, the whole house would have to isolate. So if you've got one positive contact within the house, then the whole house has to isolate. So that's, means that you don't go out, there's no socializing, no going to the shops for the whole house. And within that house, you're even isolating that person even more, if that makes sense, as we've been discussing. Yeah. So that's now, very important.
Now, before you mentioned some emergency warning signs, the high body temperature, the oxygen levels, how do we narrow oxygen levels are where they need to be?
Yeah, so look, the easiest way at home is, like I said, with a pulse oximeter. It's a little device. It just goes on your fingertip or on your earlobe sometimes, or you can put on your toe as well. And these things will keep your they just measure your oxygen levels. So normal oxygen levels are about 95 to 100%, what we call oxygen saturation. And with COVID, obviously, one of the main things that happens is, you know, this oxygen level starts to drop. So once you get to anything under 90%, and really it's time to go to hospital and get some oxygen. So this pulse oximeter is really easy. Like I said, it goes on the fingertip, takes a couple of minutes. It doesn't hurt or anything. It's safe for children as well, if you want to use it on children or anything like that. And it's it's relatively cheap. It's about $60, $70. But actually, at the moment, they're pretty much out of stock. So a bit with what's going on in Sydney.
I'm surprised phones can't do it yet.
There's still a few around. Pardon?
I'm surprised phones can't do it yet.
I think soon. Does Apple Watch have something similar to that? I'm not sure. I'm not an Apple user myself, but...
Neither am I.
I'm sure one of the Apple fanboys or fangirls will be able to tell us that.
Well, the brother who's looking after the presentation now is, he can let us know, inshallah ta'ala. So maybe he'll get back to us before the end of the program. Now, I've heard a lot. That's right.
He's going to make me look like a monster now.
You're going to get any message. We'll probably get a message from him any second letting us know. So I guess as well, having trouble breathing is not a good sign as well. Chest pain or pressure.
Very, very serious. Yeah. So the warning signs of the low oxygen would be, so trouble breathing, is persistent chest pain or pressure, a bit getting confused or bluish lips or face. Also, just the inability to stay awake, just always tired, want to sleep. And for kids, you know, grunting while they're breathing and really loss of appetite as well.
Care. And we'd like to also remind the brothers, for general health with COVID, without COVID, may Allah protect us, honey, black seed oil, and this is something that we always recommend our brothers and sisters to take. As a prevention as a cure, because it's general for us as Muslims, because the Quran and Sunnah have mentioned it, as we've discussed many times before in previous programs, Brother Saeed.
That should be part of the daily routine.
Alhamdulillah, I've been more strict on it in the last few months. Alhamdulillah, I was taking it on and off because I became lazy. When it would run out, I wouldn't go get more. Wouldn't go around to my local pharmacy in the Baronia Road, Coles there, your discount chemist, and stock up on some honey, black seed oil, or tablets. But now I've been a lot more, alhamdulillah, how can we say, more strict on it. So I've made it part of my daily routine in the morning to have some honey, different types of honey, which I enjoy. And also I've got the black seed oil, and I've also got the black seed organic tablets there as well. Very easy to take, a lot easier than for many than taking the oil itself.
Yeah, well, the supply is pretty short on black seed at the moment as well.
Yes.
So my regular supply, I think at the moment, we've only sort of got the oils left. But it's still like I said, it should be part of your daily routine anyway. What's your honey? What honey are you into?
At the moment, I'm taking one that I forget its brand name, but it's the honey with the black seed. So the actual bee feeds off the back seed plant, if that makes sense, if I'm saying it right. Don't quote me on that, but yeah, so I'll send you a shot of it and maybe we can mention it next time.
Yeah, I didn't know you could do that. Where was that from? Where's that from?
It's a known brand. I forget its name. Subhanallah al-Azim. Maybe we can get a picture sent to us regarding it. Our tech team can let us know. And I've also got some Manuka honey, high grade Manuka honey, and I've also got some local honey. As well. So I've got all types which I'm using daily. Alhamdulillah.
That's
something we're benefiting from as. And taking from the Quran in Surah An-Nahl, where Allah tells us about it in the Quran. Now, Brother Saeed, we've got another question. Let me bring it up because I don't want the questions to overcome us. How can someone test positive at the end of the 2-week self-isolation?
How?
How can some test positive at the end of a 2-week of self-isolation?
Well, I'm assuming we're talking about other people in the household, or is it?
Yeah, if they were a close contact and advised to self-isolate.
Yeah, okay. So, well, the incubation period for COVID is 2 weeks. So what that means is really any time up to 2 weeks, it can present itself. So in some people, I normally find it's about a week, but it's up to 2 weeks. So that's why you always find that the isolation periods are 2 weeks, because that's what we call the incubation period of the virus. So yeah, it's not that common to pick it up, or the symptoms show up after, 13 or 14 days, but it's definitely possible. And I have definitely heard of that as well on a few occasions. So,
another question.
That's the incubation period.
Okay, another question here. After a medical clearance for a positive patient, can they still be infectious to the community? If yes, for how long are you infectious?
Okay. Also, a common question I've been getting, and it's no. They're not infectious after the medical clearance. That's it. It's safe to see them, shake their hand, if you want to. So that's no problem. Once you've got that medical clearance, your antibodies are produced. You have you're not spreading that anymore. If you were going to spread it, it would have been within the first couple of weeks.
Another question, brother. What if you have had the AstraZeneca and you have asthma, also eye protection? I've heard it enters the eye, I've heard it enters the eye, if I'm reading it right there. I think I've misread it. So what if you've had the AstraZeneca and you have asthma? I don't know if...
What's the question asking?
Brother, what if you had the AstraZeneca and you have asthma?
Yes.
Also eye protection. I've heard it enters through the eyes. So is there any eye protection? I think she means...
Yes. So... any vaccine, I'll deal with the first part. Any vaccine is, if you've got asthma, any vaccine is fine, and you should be getting any vaccine you can, because, you're more susceptible to getting ill effects, or, more severe effects. So no problem there. If, whatever you've had in vaccine, it's good that you've had that and you've got asthma, if you've got asthma. Now, the second part is, yes, it can get in through the eye. And this is why, in terms of that self-isolation, staying away from people, keeping them to their room and things like that. And hence why I was recommending that the face shield. If you really, really, really want to make sure, then you need the face shield, because it gets through the eyes. Yes.
Now, Brother Saeed, I've got, like I said, I said we're going to get some photos, and I have. I've got some photos and information about the black seed.
I'm really interested.
It's the actual container. I think it's called, it's a known one, a known brand. I think it's called the Mu'ajiza Miracle. And the back of it says, what makes the Mu'ajiza black seed honey unique is the fact that it's produced by bees that feed on the nectar of the black seed plant, not by mixing the honey with the black seed powder. This gives our honey a fantastic taste, and at the same time maintains the natural characteristics of both honey and black seed, And that's why it's loved by many of honey lovers, and that's why many honey lovers enjoy it.
I had no idea you could get that.
So it's actually 100% natural, raw, unfiltered, and unpasteurized honey, if I'm pronouncing it right.
Yes, so, yeah. Unpasteurized, very, very important with honey. Once you heat it, it starts to lose a lot of its properties.
So it's actually it's called black seed honey. It's the one I have. I don't know if the camera is going to pick that up. That's the packet there.
A bit lower. There we go. Oh yeah.
There we go.
Where's it made? So,
let me have a look. Okay. So I haven't got the full container.
Don't tell me it's made in China, man.
I don't think so. It doesn't say. I don't know. I'll find out where it's made, inshallah.
No, I'm just kidding. Can send it in. Just being silly.
Yes. Okay. Now, another question that has popped up as well, Brother Saeed, is that if I've had one dose of the vaccine and I test positive, what happens here?
Again, really important here. This has happened, unfortunately, many times lately. So the you've had the first vaccine, you've contracted COVID. So once you finish your isolation period and you get the medical clearance, the health department normally gives you a letter or some kind of statement saying that you've had it, and you basically have antibodies for at least 6 months. So there's no need for your second vaccine for another 6 months. So that's the official line from the health department, from the government, about what to do with that. Now, some people, they still want to have that second dose of vaccine, so they get their digital certificate, for whether it's for work or whatever, and, to be able to go away and things like that. So I have inquired with the government about this, and the official line is that, look, at the end of the day, it's up to the doctor. If the doctor feels that they want to give the vaccine, then they can do that at whatever stage before the 6 months. So, I would tell those people, look, speak to your doctor and see what they recommend. Look, in terms of, in the medical advice to it, from my end, is there's going to be no harm to have the vaccine, but there's also no need to have the vaccine either, because your antibodies are going to be just as strong, or if not stronger, from actually contracting the disease, really, than from the vaccine. So, obviously you're going to have, better, stronger antibodies from actually contracting COVID than from what a vaccine is going to give you, really.
Now, Brother Saeed, before we finish, I don't know, correct me if I'm wrong, I've been hearing a lot of stuff, and it's not about vaccinated versus unvaccinated. Now, I've heard of the vaccinated avoiding the unvaccinated. But what's with this unvaccinated avoiding the vaccinated for fear of catching the virus and its harmful effects? And this is makhtuta, that it's planned in the future, that the unvaccinated, they're going to avoid all vaccinated people because they're going to catch the virus and its harmful effects. Where does this come from?
And its harmful effects.
I don't know. I'm just...
Look, Nadal, I wish you were kidding when you say stuff like that. But I know you're not.
I've heard it.
Because I've heard it myself. I've heard it myself, and I don't know, where do I start? Yes, there is definitely, I've heard this multiple times from, people who are being told this from their own family members when they're coming in to get a vaccination from me, that, my I'm not going to say people, but, a family member is going to, keep away from me. They don't want to come near me if I get vaccinated, or I'm not allowed to their house if I'm vaccinated. Look, this is what's the word? Jahiliyyah at its best.
Ignorance.
It look, you know, I don't want to offend anyone, but if it sounds stupid, as it does, or it sounds a bit warped, because it is warped. It's absolute misinformation. It's I don't even know how people can even think this is possible. Like, subhanAllah, you know, it sounds, if you said that to someone, you automatically think, whoa, that's what the hell? How is that even possible? And unfortunately, this is something that people believe. And, you know, we need people to just wake up, you know, wake up. And wallah, I mean that in the nicest possible way. Wake up, don't say stuff like that. You know, you this is just complete ignorance. And we're, you know, people are better than we're better than that. You know, get your information from, you know, I don't even know where this information would have came from. Okay. How do you think that that's even a possibility? You know,
Now, Brother Said,
time
we've
and
got
time again,
a
we've said to people there's no virus in the vaccine, and this whole thing you can catch harmful effects from someone who's vaccinated. Subhanallah. And it's definitely the other way around. You know, if someone wanted to avoid someone, you'd have to avoid them for being unvaccinated, not for an unvaccinated person avoiding the vaccinated. Subhanallah.
Allahumma. Now, Brother Saeed, we've got our final question for tonight. The question asked, if I had pericarditis, I can't even pronounce the word.
Yep.
Pericarditis, what is it? How's it pronounced?
You know, I always struggle with it as well. It's the inflammation of the lining of the heart. Yes.
Okay, if I had that after my first vaccine, should I delay my
Yes.
second vaccine?
If it's a confirmed case of that, if it's confirmed that they got it after their Pfizer dose or their Moderna dose, then yes, it should be delayed, or they should speak to the doctor, get the doctor's opinion on it or a cardiologist's opinion on it. If it is a confirmed case, that's what they got. Now, by confirmed, I mean they went to hospital, they had an ECG or a scan proving that, then yes, it should be delayed, and need to speak to their doctor or, in fact, the cardiologist. So, just for everyone listening, that's a condition that inflammation of the heart lining or the heart muscle, it can be as well in myocarditis, and it's happens in the mRNA vaccines, so the Pfizer or the Moderna vaccines. It's a possibility. Generally, way more common in males under 30. We don't know why in males, but in males under 30, it seems to be, you know, you know, an issue. And it's we're talking about the rate. I have got the rates here. It's six at 37 per million in the male, so 37 cases per million doses in males, and 16 cases per million in females. As of yet in Australia, there's been no deaths attributed to that. It's just, you know, just some ill side effects, like, you know, I think we've discussed them before. You know, shortness of breath, a bit of chest pain sometimes, or rapid or irregular heartbeat, as well. So anything like that, it is a possibility. But yeah, that's the official advice for the brother or sister who sent that question in.
Khair, inshallah. Barakallah fik, Brother Saeed. Any final comments for tonight regarding what we've discussed?
No, just, you know, everyone sort of stay safe, as they say. You know, be diligent. You know, I don't want to sound like the premier or everyone else who's telling us to get vaccinated, but wallahi, I've seen the results, you know, of people who are vaccinated and who aren't vaccinated who are catching this disease, and you know, very close within my family members, you know, and you know, it's the evidence is there, it's right in front of our eyes, you know. Yeah, there's no need not to be. There's no need to be scared of vaccinating. It works, And yeah, that's pretty much all I got to say.
Jazakallah khairan, brother Saeed. May Allah keep us all safe and sound, and cure all those who are sick, and have mercy upon all those who have passed away. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ease our affairs. Until next time, brother Saeed. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
This program was presented by Al Bayan Radio, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah.